First Corinthians 2. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the revelation of your word tonight. Thank you because the seeing eyes, the hearing eyes, ears are granted by you. Today we receive all. We walk in them in Jesus' name. First Corinthians 2:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, as the King James, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Okay, so teaching of God's word puts you on a pedestal to function. Teaching of God's word makes you highly effective to relate with these things. So your relationship with the gifts of the Spirit or the things of the Spirit will be dependent on, it's going to be a knowledge relationship. As much as you know, is as much as you will be able to function. Verse 4, and are diverse of gifts but the same Spirit, and are diverse of administration but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So he lists 9 things we call the gifts of the Spirit, and in verse 11 it says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, that word there is merismos, distributing to every man severally as he will. So that distribution is where ministry comes in. That distribution is where the ministry gift will come in. It's in the distributions of the gifts of the Spirit that we now find ministry. We don't find ministry in the possession of gifts of the Spirit. We find ministry gifts in the distributions of the gifts. The distributions, that is where you get the operation of this worketh. That's where you get the ministry gift. It's in the distributions of these things. The one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 28. And God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Now, we have looked at the apostle, and we have discovered that the operation of the apostle, now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say now. It's a bit of a technical usage of language, but it will help you. Every time we find the word apostle, right, in the epistles, for instance, the book of Acts cannot qualify as doctrinal because the book of Acts is more of an activity material where we see an historical material. We cannot have the doctrinal material without the historical material. That is, the historical material will tell us how the doctrines were developed, why they were developed, but they do not explain the doctrines thoroughly. For instance, the book of Acts of the Apostles, where we find, aside the apostles of the Lamb, the 12, plus Matthias that was chosen by the casting of lots in Acts 1, we discovered that they were sent forth. Okay? Now, they were sent forth. Okay? And in that sending forth, we see that in Luke 10 particularly, the 12 were sent forth to preach a particular message. They were sent to a particular people, okay, by Jesus. Now, the next time we find an apostolic call that is described, so the book of Acts of the Apostles is a descriptive material, is Acts 13, where we find that the Holy Spirit said, of course that's by utterance, separate unto me, Barnabas, I don't know, the Holy Spirit said it by utterance, 1 Corinthians 12, that explains it. The gift of prophecy is to speak forth by the Spirit, to speak forth by revelation. So that those are the gifts of the Spirit. And because they are gifts of the Spirit, they work severally through every man. Verse 11. So how did it happen in that congregation? Men who gathered together spoke by the Spirit, and that was the Holy Spirit speaking. That's the clear way of looking at Acts 18. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work where they have called them to. They went out and they went to preach. I want you to observe something. Go to Acts. Acts 13. So they began to preach. I just described Acts 13. And, you know, the Bible says in verse 5, They preached in the synagogue of the Jews. And they also had to preach to the deputy who turned to the Lord in verse 12. So they went, you know, and began preaching. And as they were preaching, I'm sure in Acts 13, you discover that in verse 43, some people followed them and they heard the word of God and they actually believed. That is in Acts 13. Now, by Acts 48, many Gentiles got saved. I mean, so Acts 13, 48. Now, by Acts 14, right, in communion, people believed, and in verse 4, chapter 4, chapter 14, verse 4, for the very first time, are you listening now? They were called apostles. Now, did you observe that they were not called apostles until the work was done? I don't think you're following me. Are you following this? Are you following this? So you can only be called an apostle in the church. Let me say this. Look up. Even the fact that they were sent to preach does not yet describe that operation until we see the apostolic function. A work was done to a specific people, a primary work was done. Then they were called the apostles. Now that goes back to 1 Corinthians 12, 28, where it says, it said somewhere in the church. So that operation is in the church. Look up. That means the fact that you have gone there to preach, people are getting saved, does not yet show us the operation of the apostle until we see it in the church. That's why we say that it's seen in the message, it's seen in the work. Are you following what I'm saying? In the work, in the message, and the demonstration of power. So they were called so-called apostles because of the work they had done, the church. That means the church will be the proof of the apostolic function. It sets some in the church. That's the apostolic function. It is when we look at the work that we say that is a function of an apostle. The same thing will definitely go 1 Corinthians 12. Because every time we find the word apostles mentioned in explanatory term in 1 Corinthians 12 and then Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles. When he was going to describe the location of that function, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. That shows you that going out and doing evangelism, reaching the lost, getting people born again, getting people healed, does not describe these functions. This function will only be seen in the church. Are you following this? Okay, so the function of an apostle is in the church. Maybe I should add this, through the church also. Now, in the operation of the prophet, which began last week, we settled some clear things. One of the things we saw, I'll go back there again so that you can see, that unlike the Old Testament, which has been closed, where a man sees visions and he speaks forth by the Spirit of God, is a prophet, that has ended with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, in Acts 2, the prophecy is that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, Acts 2 and 17, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. So that takes away those two things as peculiar to the operations of a prophet, because that cannot suffice anymore. Okay? So that takes it out. The fact that somebody sees a vision or somebody speaks forth by prophecy does not bring in, it does not classify such as a prophet. Also, we're going to see some other things. Don't let me even go there yet. So, we're not going to look at the Acts of the Apostles, which I said is descriptive in nature. It really helps us to see things. The very first time, Acts 11, in Bible study, the first time something is mentioned is very important. Take note of how it is mentioned or why it is mentioned. Acts chapter 11. Verse 27. We read that last week. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Again, you see that the prophet came from where? From the church. Are you here? They are not developed. I think we spoke about operations, right? They are not developed in your room. They are from the church. It's a ministry gift in the church. Then unto Antioch. Did you observe that also in Antioch, where did we see them? Verse 28. Where? In the church. So there stood up one and signified by the Spirit that there should be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. Now you see later on that there was a double mention of Agabus later in Acts 21. So, and as it were, just like I told you about elders, they are elder ministers. You know, because of, as it were, more mature and effective functions. They are elder ministers. Now, and he spoke. Now, that also tells you that whatever Agabus was in Acts 11:28, he had been in Acts, in Jerusalem, hence he was called a prophet, okay? And whatever he was to, the others were. Hence they were grouped together. However, Agabus was distinctive, as we are going to see much later. Not today, definitely. And that there should be great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. That is, it was confirmed. Okay, in 28. Now, then the disciples, now how did Luke know it came to pass? Because Luke was writing an history. In history, you have the benefit of all the events. When it happened, when it was said, when it came to pass. That's why I say, which came to pass. It's not as though it was coming to pass as he was saying it. It eventually came to pass. Now, then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which were at Judea, in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we see a prophet whose gift was demonstrated in the church. The second time we hear prophets is Acts 15, where we see Silas and Judas being prophets themselves, also exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Again, we see the operation in the church. Acts 13. And if I skip that, they were in the church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Acts 21. Now, Agabus again. Verse 10. And while we tarried there, while we tarried in the house of Philip, now you will discover that something was happening. The daughters of Philip were prophesying. They prophesied in the house of Philip the evangelist. So there was things in operation. It now happened that Agabus joined them. Okay? When he did, we can see the distinctive nature of the ministry of the prophet. There was a distinctive nature. of that ministry of the prophet. He wasn't just speaking forth by the Spirit of God. He held the girdle of Paul and gave him a prophecy. I mean, gave him a word of wisdom. And, you know, said how they would take him, the Jews would take him and all that. So we see, the other mentioned four times. Acts 11, Acts 13, Acts 15, and Acts 21. Alright. Now, last week, we said this about the prophet. We said, the prophet's ministry, operation, is inspirational in nature. It's inspirational. That is, it causes actions. It inspires something. Now, notice what he said in Acts 11. What he said in Acts 11, what did it inspire? Go back there. The government were very carnal. What did it inspire? Tell me now. Acts 11. Men of God, you know these things now. What did it inspire? Eh? It's what? Eh? Giving is bad love. You discover that? It is bad love. You know, normally, you have been taught doctrine, but it inspired love. And you will see later, as we are going to see today, that it's not as though he just got up and just prophesied. No. Prophets do not minister like that. He didn't just get up and say, prophets, Agabus, what do you have to say? And there shall be, and there shall be. And we think that the prophet, and there shall be a great death in all the earth. We'll see how we got to that point. Are you following this? Are you here? So, it inspired love. In Acts 15, we're not told the operation, which gift was an operation by Judas and Silas, but they exhorted the brethren. Did you see that? Did you see it again? They exhorted the brethren and then strengthened them. In Acts 13, what did the prophet inspire? The prophets there must have inspired ministry work. Then, in Acts 21, the same thing. Did you discover that no prophet in Acts of the Apostles went to Pilate or Herod or went on CNA or NTA or the nation? They are in the church. They are for the church. That operation of the prophet is for the church. 1 Corinthians 14. It's via 1 Corinthians 14, and you'll see it in a moment, that I conclude that Paul was not part of the prophets in Acts 13. In 1 Corinthians 14, he gave instructions as touching order in the church. Now, how many of you agree with me that in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul was dealing with inspiration majorly? Is that clear? I mean, let me see if you agree. Was it with inspiration? Inspiration. Now, did you observe there was only one ministry gift he mentioned twice? Which one? The prophets. Are you there? Because the operation of the prophet in the local church is inspirational. So by the time we got to 1 Corinthians 14, he said all. He now singled out in verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. Verse 22, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. So, he now zeroed down 37, saying, if any man thinks he ought to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I command you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, that is an apostolic function. Are you there? An apostle lays the foundation, sets the pace of the work. Said, this is how it should be done. Prophet. Because his work is primary. Are you there? That already takes Paul. You know, normally if Paul
was talking to apostles, he will say, I myself, you will say that, I'm an apostle. That is prominent in his letters. But this time around, he did not say he is a prophet. He said, if any man should let him have these things that I, as an apostle, I write to you. So Paul, that takes Paul out as a prophet. Let me see if you got that. Beautiful. Now, watch this. So 1 Corinthians 14:3. Put your hands there. And then go to Acts 15. In Acts 15, the operation of the prophet will be just like Judas and Silas. 32. Are you there? And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words. Now, I'm not going to that when you hear many words, that's inspiration. Do you know that? Many words. There was volume of things said. You see, they, with many words, and strengthened them. So, what did they do? They exhorted the brethren to strengthen them. 1 Corinthians 14:3. He that prophesies speaks unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that prophesies, verse 4, edifies the church. So that shows you that how did Judas and Silas do this? By utterance gifts. Somebody getting this? Are you following this? By what? Utterance gifts. They exhorted the brethren and strengthened them. That's where you get the word edify. They edified the church. So, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul mentioned prophets in the operation of revelation gifts. Of utterance gifts. Speak two or by three. Alright? Let the other interpret. Immediately he mentioned inspiration. Which ministry gift did he turn to? The prophet. Because the ministry gift of the prophet is like the subgroup of ministry gifts for inspiration gifts. I'll put it like this. That the thing about ministry gifts is that as they become prominent in the church, they look like specialists. They're like specialists in a field, in an area. Okay, just like a medical doctor. Number one, you are trained in all of medicine. But as you go on, you now become a specialist. In an area. The ministry gifts, the fivefold, are like specialists. When it comes to inspiration gifts and revelation gifts, they are like specialists. To the end that they edify the church. As they speak, they reveal things, they speak forth to the end that we are edified. Now, let me now stop and say this. Does revelation gifts make somebody a prophet? No. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul even had enough. You know, Paul had revelations and visions. Right? Open visions. Let's see how we describe his own open vision. It's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations. 2 Corinthians 12. You have to be very fast. Okay, I'm moving fast. Of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ. 14 years ago, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He that was caught up into paradise, he heard unspeakable words. He heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. That takes him out as a prophet. Are you there? He had abundance of visions and revelations, but those things were not to be uttered. That is, they were not things that he will be teaching the church. He had abundant visions and revelations. Paul had enough. But he never directed it to the church. The deal of that with Paul, Paul simply taught scriptures. Now, so, visions and revelations do not place a man in the operation of a prophet. Again, Another person I will show you, that a little bit intriguing, is Acts 6. Are you in Acts 6? Come there, hurry up. Somebody wonder whether you are in Bible school. Yeah, give us, you are the prophet, just say to our lives and let's make it. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Look at verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That is utterance. Right? Is that utterance? Now look at Acts 7. When they were about to stone him, in verse 55, even full of the Holy Ghost, looked up several in heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing in the right hand of God. Said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, this was the first recorded case of anyone who had an open vision into heaven. And it was not a prophet. At least, not one known to the church. Where does the prophet come in? 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 29. Are you there? You have to be there now. Before you get to verse 29, look at verse 9. Okay, verse 29. Let the prophet speak to or three, and let the other judge. We'll see the relevance of this later. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, and all may learn, and all may be comforted. Now, 31, is he talking to the whole church? Huh? Is 31 referring to the whole church? It can't be now. 29 is talking to the prophet. 30 is talking to the prophet. 32 is talking to the prophet. Are you following this? So 32 now says, 31 says that all may learn and all may be comforted. So what is it about the prophet? The prophet's ministry is to make us learn. There's something to learn from the prophet in the inspirational gifts. In the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, if he sings, it is for us to learn and be encouraged. Not just learn, and be encouraged. So the prophet is for us to learn and then be encouraged. Acts 21. Put down that 1 Corinthians 14 and Acts 21. Okay? Verse. Now, Paul and Luke. I mean, and all Paul's company, they were traveling from coast to coast and all that. In verse 4, and five disciples will tarry there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to fellowship, to Jerusalem. I wanted to say that they were into fellowship, okay? So they said to him through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when they had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way and all that. So they were... They spoke to him by the Spirit. Of course, that utterance, okay? Utterance that had revelation inside. In verse 8, he now went to the house of Philip the evangelist, and all his daughters, 7 of them, prophesied. In verse 9, the content of that prophecy, we were not told. But what I believe happened is this. If you look at it, it was within that breath that Agabus came in.
when Agabus joined them, I don't believe Agabus joined the meeting. Agabus had been around. There was consistent fellowship. Because the way the church in those days were run, unlike today when we have Sunday service, Wednesday service, they had just had meetings. Agabus was coming, and like Paul would do everywhere against you, the word of God will be taught, we will fellowship around. What he said in 1 Corinthians 14 will be, you know, put to practice. And therefore, believers, this time around, seven ladies who belong to the house of Philip, that spoke by the Spirit. Agabus was not there. And look up now. If you look at that 1 Corinthians 14, the prophet stood out in the inspiration and revelation gift in the church. That is where Agabus stands out. Agabus was now specific. Notice when Paul spoke about the prophet in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if anything be revealed, there was revelation to it. And that revelation is not a revelation of just things for us to know that, wow, your name is Jide, you come from Odobolu. The thing was that there was something to learn and be encouraged of. There was something to learn and be encouraged with. So the prophet will have revelation. So when Agabus came among the seven daughters of Philip and other ministers, there was precision to the utterance gifts. There was a precision to it. It had a target. The target was Paul and the church. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 29. I told you not to leave that place. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Now stop. When he says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Who will judge? Who is the other? A prophet. Great. So would you? Okay, let me take your thoughts, which is good. Your thoughts are useful. A prophet will judge. That shows you that when it comes to ministry gifts are often discerned and judged. What they give to the church are to be, the first thing I want you to see now, look up. This is very key. One thing about the ministry of the prophet, because of the nature of the nature that the ministry of the prophet is, before that ministry of the church is like we said, is secondary in nature. Before that ministry of the church gets to gets to us, it has to be judged. It has to be judged. If the prophet reveals things or speaks things by the Spirit, it is judged. Notice that. What do you mean by judged? It's like he gives what he says to others. Who will know what to do with it? When there is revelation in what he's saying. When there is inspiration, it will comfort and edify. When there is revelation, it will still pass through a ministry gift for it to be of a blessing, as it should be, in full capacity. In this instance, that ministry will be joy because of the inspirational nature and the revelational nature that comes, from which it comes. The prophet, therefore, will stand as a ministry gift that will rely upon another for his ministry to be of a full benefit to the church. It has to be judged. In Acts 11, when Agabus was through, notice that he left the scene. Other people did something with what he said. In Acts 21, this was Paul, he didn't give him any particular instruction. In Acts 15, Judas and Silas, you know, ministered to the church. Don't forget, in the presence of some apostles by the name of Barnabas and Paul. So the prophet's ministry will need to be judged. That word judged, listen to this. The word judged doesn't mean to be scrutinizing something. Mm-mm. The word judge means for us to understand it. For us to understand it is to look and
comprehend what is saying, what is being said, because it is inspirational in nature.
Now, let us go back to Acts 11. I'll still come back to your specialization now. Acts 11. In the operation of a prophet. Now, you know how a lazy student of the Bible do? When you get to 28, you just see 27, 28, prophets came from Judea to Antioch. Let me show you Bible language. Bible language is not telling you that when Paul and Barnabas were ministering, they just entered the meeting. When it says, and they came from Judea, it's only telling you that they came from somewhere. It's not telling you that they came after Paul and Barnabas were teaching. Are you following this? It's only telling to you where they came from, that they didn't just appear out. They also came from somewhere. Now, in Acts 11, there was something they were doing before the event of Acts 28. What was it? It's very simple to see it. When Barnabas came from Judea, the same Jerusalem, to Antioch, when he came, verse 23, and had seen the grace of God and was glad, he exhorted them all with the purpose of that they would cleave unto the Lord. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. You discover that evangelism is not the fault of ministry gifts at all. You know, we had Acts 11 last week. It was believers. Evangelism is the ministry of the church. The ministry gift is to prepare us for evangelism. Evangelism is the ministry of the church. If you observe something, look up, guys. Look up. I want to show you something. This is, by the way, we'll look at this maybe at WCC. Like I said, it's all in my head. Now, if you notice that open air meetings always happened when the gospel was brought to a place for the first time. From that point, believers were doing it. Open air meetings. From that point, the word grew through Christians, spreading the word of God. Why? Because the ministry was performing his role. The apostle, he performed the task of bringing the gospel first to us. Then it begins to mature us, like Acts 19 and 20. The elders. Now, watch this. Verse 25. He went to Tarsus and brought Saul. And when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass a whole year, they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and disciples were called Christians. Now, these people that assembled included the prophets. Verse 27 just described where these prophets came from. He had told you where Barnabas came from. He had told you where Paul came from. He had to tell you where Agabus came from. Let me see how they are following this. So what was Agabus doing before that revelation came? He was teaching. They were teaching and preaching. And in their preaching and teaching, they got to the point as the ministry of the prophet, and then he revealed certain things that will happen, and then to inspire love. These things have not happened. It's not as though he showed you a picture and said, "See, oh, the Christians in Sudan are suffering. Let's send bags of rice." Mm-mm. His ministry was received. Immediately, they knew what to do, because the word of God was taught in that direction. They brought relief and sent to Judea in preparation for that famine. So, the ministry of the prophet does teaching and preaching. Then, revelation gifts are now accompanying it. And inspirational gifts, they are not the main force of the ministry of the prophet. Rather, they are specializations along the line. It specializes in encouraging the church, teaching the church, getting the church established by inspiration and by revelation. Acts 15. Again, we read that earlier. Judas and Silas, being prophets, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. That means that they didn't just come to church and spoke something. Many words. They were inspiring the church. They were encouraging the church. There was comfort being brought consistently to the church. In Acts 13, where prophets were also mentioned. So pause. Where somebody just sees visions and speaks, that's not the operation of a prophet. That operation is embedded in teaching and preaching. Is embedded in teaching and preaching. Do you know something? Let me shock you. If many people, the allure people, that's why you're low here. The seeming covetousness and greed people have with the spectacularness of the prophet is because they have been wrongly informed. You're an African man. You are used to people. They tell you your name. They tell you, you don't have that thing about, I can do this too with Jesus. People will like me. You know, that's why people, if you observe today, most people that love the office of a prophet don't study their Bible. In fact, more often than not, they don't know anything. So if a man is not knowledgeable in God's word, doesn't teach the word of God, he is not a prophet. He's just a believer who, as Paul has told the Corinthian church, who zealously pursues gifts of the Spirit. But he is not a prophet. A prophet is a preacher and or a teacher of God's word. Acts 13, verse 1. They were in the church that Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and they mentioned them, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, what could they have been doing in the church at Antioch? We don't have much issues with that. By the time you read verse chapter 11, alright, verse 26, they were teaching. At least Barnabas and Saul were teaching and strengthening the brethren. Along the line, the operation of the prophet came to the fore. So the prophet is a man that teaches and preaches the word. So that operation of the prophet is only found in preaching or embedded in preaching and teaching. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. You know, we read 1 Corinthians 12:28. It says some in the church. It said firstly apostles, secondly prophets. Okay? So Ephesians 4, where the prophet and the church were mentioned in relation to the church. Ephesians 4:11. You know what? You know what you do for yourself? At the back of your go, remove Elisha. I don't know if you are thinking Elisha, Elijah, and, you know, relax. You are born again. Okay? How did Elisha know what Gehazi did? 1 Corinthians 14. If all of you prophesy, and there coming one that doesn't believe, the secret of his heart will be made manifest. He said, all of you. You are born again. Okay? Stop thinking about Elisha, Elijah, prophets. They are not prophets in the church. They don't stand the test of prophet in the church. But let me show you something. Look up now. I want to tell you something now. It's a bit technical. Look up now. Do you know that Elijah has no book in the Bible? And Elisha, those spectacular prophets. Do you observe? Do you know they are never quoted to know who Jesus is? You don't know?
And they had, you know, Elijah had more spectacular result than Isaiah. But Isaiah is more relevant to you. Have you? And Elisha. That means in all the ministry of Elijah, we couldn't find too much to say about Jesus. See? Okay? I mean, you know, some people will hear this. I know a particular man majors in Elijah and Elisha. In fact, they form the basic doctrine that he received from the Lord. But you see, the truth of the matter is that he has been taught wrong. So, don't ever be looking at those ones as prophets in the church. So when somebody appears like Elijah in your meeting, or Elisha, and is moving the operation of Elijah and Elisha, you know, just know that you have found a New Testament unsaved man. Because that's not a prophet. A prophet will hold teaching meetings. Amen? A prophet will teach. That's why the only prophet I have so far and acknowledged fully that I've seen, there are basically two. I'll mention one for security reasons. Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was a prophet. Was a prophet of God. But was a prophet of God that taught God's word. He even had a Bible school where they were not teaching, they were not making prophets, they were not birthing prophets for the church. He inspired evangelism. Today, his work, it was said concerning himself and Billy Graham that they discovered that they surveyed evangelists in their era and said that, I mean, evangelism meetings and all that, and discovered that in his meetings, that when people are saved and all that, understand this explanation, the doctrine may not exactly explain the same way, that they always stay in the faith, that his own meetings, over 80% stay longer in the faith till the end of their lives. But Billy Graham, less than 30%. They also discovered that when you bring together, they look at the healing ministry too, the same thing. They now look at ministers too, and discover that in every 2.5 days in a year, a graduate of his Bible school either starts a work or takes over a work. It is still the same till this. Can you see that? That is the ministry of a prophet. He knows the Bible. He teaches the Bible. Of course, that knowing too is not like he knows whatever he knows in the Bible is the Bible. Okay? But what I'm saying is that the ministry of the prophet is tailored to the church one. Then you see Kenneth Hagin in Time magazine talking about Obama. In fact, the few times he asked about the American president, he will call the church, tell them, and they will pray about it. Because that is where your ministry is towards. I know a couple of other people, but there's one of them I cannot talk about now because he's more into the tree of life now. So, I just cannot talk about. But, now, I have also had the experience of knowing people who are prophets. The interesting thing about most of them is that they are not like the prophets you have known from white garment to Pentecostalism. Because some of you are from white garment background. You are used to people coming around, bringing candle and all. The only thing between the ones in the Pentecostal circles that they don't have dead clocks, but they do the same thing. You know? So, the operation of the prophet is in what? Preaching and teaching. It comes out in discipleship. Praise God. In teaching and preaching. You know, even in a world church like ours, as we are called, you know, some people, because of that mindset, will not know who a prophet is. They'll be looking for the guy that comes around. Manga, logo, giga. They think that is a prophet. But the truth of the matter is that now, after a while, you discover that a lot of people can move that. In fact, some folks, it's only that their gift doesn't work when we are all gathered. When they are with their disciples, it functions. So it depends on you are a prophet or who. In that regard, you understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't make you a prophet. Amen. It's in the preaching and teaching of God's word, or a prophetess. Hallelujah. Yeah, prophet. Today when you have pastor meetings, people are confused. It's just that they gave peace on the women and men. Evangelist, Mrs. Prophetess, Pastor, Mrs. Teacher, Mister. So, you do yourself a favor as we close this. Take this idol out of your mind. Is it that, number one, somebody that speaks forth or sees vision is a prophet. Please, no rival throne should survive. Two, somebody who speaks about natural events. By next year, they will be cool. It doesn't make him a prophet. It is when he knows what to do with it and what to channel it towards that makes him a prophet. Acts 11, Acts 21, and Acts 13 talked about future events. Agabus was tailored properly in the operation of a prophet. What about personal prophets? Those who come to you and tell you not to take a job and tell you not to travel. Well, most of the time, they are charlatans. That's what the operation of a prophet. The operation of a prophet is in the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Don't also forget that because the ministry of a prophet, when it's revelational in nature, it has to be judged. That zeroes personal prophets. Because you cannot judge what you have said. So that takes away personal prophets. I know you have had a personal prophet before. Don't lie. In your life. You want to lie. As a lie, you never had it. But you have been somebody's personal prophet. Did you discover that? Those operations or those manifestations, when a fellow becomes knowledgeable in God's word, he sees. And wherever he's channeling his own operation towards you will stop. It's because he was never a prophet. He was just chancing you because you were not zealous to spiritual things like he was. And secondly, you were not knowledgeable. Lastly, is the miraculous the proof of prophets? Nope. Mark 16, preaching of the gospel is. And all that. Now let me stir your mind as I close. I want to ask you a question. Amen. We're still going to have a meeting next week, so don't be scared. I want to ask you a question. Can we say, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Now we said the inspirational gifts are like the fourth, the specialties of a prophet. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25, we see that when the gift of revelation is in operation and utterance, the secrets of men's heart are made manifest and then fall down their face. We said in Acts 2, what can we do? What shall we do now, brethren? Now, look at Stephen. Can we say Stephen was at the elementary stages of being developed into a prophet? Think about it. We never knew who he was. Imagine if Philip too had passed on in Acts 8. You know, we'll probably not know he was an evangelist. Could it be that there was, because unlike Philip, what was prominent, what Stephen seemed to exercise had to do with utterance. There was utterance and revelation that was there. It was there. And interestingly, should I say something? Nobody got saved. Nobody got saved. It seems as though Paul picked something from that sermon when he got born again. I think his old man reminded his new man. Because the content was different in his first sermon in Acts 13. But basically, the focus, what he was passing across was the same. So, could it be that Stephen was not groomed to fruition? I just asked. You know?
It is often said, this is by the way, that that vision, historians have traced it and it looked like it. That vision, this is before the reading, of self-consciousness, so say, I cannot tell, that it was traced to when he was stoned. That in Stephen's case, maybe he didn't know what to do, he passed away. In Paul's case, he stayed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just see something close. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and verse 18. I charge thee, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So prophecies actually came before him. Of course, they came through him and they came through others. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that was given thee by prophecy with laying of my hands, of the hands of the presbytery, that's the eldership. Now, that obviously shows something, that there's not about ministry gifts. That when ministry gifts are present in a place, there is a strong tendency for revelation. A very strong tendency for revelation and a lot of instructions, a lot of utterances, you know, about ministry gifts. Hallelujah. Just think about that. Next week, we'll pick up from here. Do you see concerning a prophet? Eh? Who thinks he's concerning a prophet? Yeah? You like prophets? You like Mike. I know the prophets here already. I know the prophets who are here. But you see, the truth of the matter is that ministry gifts are known in preaching and teaching, not in any kind of charismatic display of its own accord. But preaching and teaching accompanied with charismatic displays. Amen. You got some out of that? Did you get something? Alright, let's thank God and bless him. Give him praise. Worship him.